Raba seke enderabo ko sonde yezarabo rabasa. O rababo seke yarabo sata. Rebe seko orabo senena namanda. Zeko rabase. Zoko rebe seko onda rabasata. Ziko rabo senena. Zoko rebe rabo senena. Mande seko rabo senena. Zoko rebe rabo senena.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So I don't know if this thank you. I don't know if this is a good reason or excuse to be late, but I'm telling you, I was getting dressed and God just dropped this in my heart that I'm going to share. And so I was writing as fast as I could to get it all down. I don't think it's anything that we don't know. I think it's just something we hadn't known it this way. And it's in light of what the Lord's been sharing with us about this prophetic season. And so I want to go back to, thank you, Tanya. That was really, really great. I want to go back to what Perry Stone said about this season that we're in. I'm reading from his book, This Season of Angels. And I keep reading the same statement over and over again because I think it bears repeating. John 5:4, and this is page 3 from his book. John 5:4 tells of a beautiful water source located near the sheep gate in Jerusalem where an angel bringing healing would occasionally manifest. John wrote that an angel appeared at a certain season. The word for season here in the Greek is kairos, a word used to indicate a specific season of opportunity that is also a set moment in time. And we know this word in the Old Testament translated as season is translated moed, as Miss Billy has taught us, which means a designated moment, a set time. It's a set time, it's a designated moment. The moment is designated right down to that very actual moment. And he goes on to say, the scripture teaches us that there are times and seasons which God has placed within his own power, Acts 1:7. Prophetic signs indicate the world is entering the season identified as the time of the end, which releases the most significant prophetic season since the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. Biblically, there have been numerous prophetic seasons, including transitions that changed the world. So in these prophetic seasons, we've been talking about the supernatural knowledge. And not only now, the supernatural knowledge, the Lord has enlarged our platform about the supernatural. He's been talking to me about this supernatural church. You know, I was thinking the other day, if I wasn't called to do what I'm doing, I would probably right now, I would probably be sitting at the desk, at my desk at home writing books. And I thought the other day, the next one I would write would be Wanted, a supernatural church. Whoa. I just had that thought the other day. I was meditating yesterday. And I thought, Lord, I need to sit down and write this book. Yeah. Wanted, yeah. A supernatural church. And so that's what God, because he's been talking to me about the supernatural church, mm-hmm. and the vehicle to release the supernatural is prayer. Yes. And the vehicle to release it on an unprecedented level is prophetic praying or the spirit of prophecy. Now, and so I heard this in my spirit this morning. The spirit testifies with our spirit that we are heirs of God, heirs, joint heirs. So I'm going to get to that. And then I backed up and I heard this. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Wow. So now I've seen that, And so in scripture, we can see in the Old Testament. Okay, so talking about this prophetic season, talking about supernatural knowledge and releasing the supernatural, if you will. What I'm heading over into is prophetic praying. Which God kind of showed me something that I kind of knew, but I don't think I ever taught it. And so this was a quick download this morning. But the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of prayer, always brings a spirit of prophecy. Mm-hmm. And anytime there's a prophetic season, the spirit of prayer is always at work. And the spirit of prayer decides if that prophetic season gets what God wants to get done in it or it fails. And so then the supernatural then is released, if you will, is released on a prophetic level. And so then to touch every platform. And you know those platforms we talked about, we pray on three main platforms. You know, in 1 Corinthians 10:32, the Bible says, give offense neither to the Jews, that's one platform, to the nations, that's the other one, and to the church. And so then, so then it takes the prophetic anointing to rakatasim and manifest and perpetuate the plan of God on those platforms, and particularly in a prophetic season, because those seasons where the transitions take place that change the world, as you heard that I read from this book. So now, this spirit of prophecy, the spirit of prayer that I'm talking about. So let me back up and just give you one definition of prophecy. A discourse emanating from divine inspiration, declaring the thoughts and purposes of God. Reproving and that, okay, so let's say this first. So it also, it also means foretelling the future. So now that's one of the aspects of prophecy that we all have thought, we got our minds limited to. When you hear prophecy, you usually think about foretelling the future. You know, and that is, it is, in the Old Testament, it was, you saw a lot of that. And with the Old Testament prophets, they would foretell the future. They would tell, we're living in some of it now that they prophesy, right? Amen. But then there's this other component, if you will, of prophecy that means divine inspiration. Okay? Divine inspiration. So divine inspiration is what you see a lot in the New Testament. Okay? So this divine inspiration causes us to declare the thoughts and purposes of God. Okay? All right? Then sometimes it comes with reproving and admonishing the wicked, this divine inspiration. And other times it's for comforting or exhortation for the church. In other times, what come with it is revelation knowledge or supernatural knowledge, if you will, revealing hidden mysteries and hidden things. All right? So you're prayer leaders, right? All right, okay. So now, this word prophecy. Now, it's the spirit of prophecy is manifested as divine inspiration. Okay, all of us has the capacity. We all have the spirit of prophecy in us. Whether we operate in it or not, it's there. Okay, so because the spirit of prophecy, Revelation says, it's the testimony of Jesus Christ. And Romans says that the Spirit testifies with us that we are heirs of God. And so the testimony then, the spirit of prophecy has the testimony in us declaring that we are the sons of God. We are a joint heir with Jesus, and we are in authority in the earth. Therefore, we can divinely speak and change and rearrange things through this vehicle called prayer. Now, he dropped that in me this morning. So Revelations, and I turned over there real quickly and I looked at that scripture in Revelation 19:10. I began to tap on my concordance on my phone, the words prophecy, and I went researched and I read some of those things to you. And the other word I tapped on was testimony. You know, testimony is evidence of a solemn declaration, usually more orally by witness under oath. All right? So the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. And we're always speaking on an oath because we speak out of this. This is our oath. We've written and sworn by it. Amen? So then everybody has the spirit of prophecy. Now, everybody are not prophets. You know that. And it doesn't mean because you speak with the spirit of prophecy or that you prophesy that you are a prophet. The Bible clearly distinguished those lines. But it also shows us that we all have the spirit of prophecy, and God is wanting the church to move on over in the spirit of prophecy, declaring the thought, will, and purposes of God. All right. Okay. And so, in light of where God is taking us for 2020, and we're going to come full circle, but prophecy is not only connected with revelation, but it's connected with vision. So the prophet said 2020 would be a time of visions, dreams. Now, this spirit of prophecy and the spirit of prayer, anywhere you step into, whether it's you individually, whether it is through the church or some prayer group, whatever level that you encounter, if you will, the spirit of prayer, it pick it back on that, it's the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy is piggybacked on it. And so, therefore, there's this room then for the supernatural now to increase and to manifest on a level we are not had before in the church. Increase. So say to me before this over, remind me, somebody, pray for GE. I got to pray for GE this morning. Okay. Now, I want to look at an Old Testament example of the spirit of prayer and the spirit of prophecy working together. And then we're going to look at New Testament examples. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. This is a great situation where a nation was in trouble. It's a very familiar story. 2 Chronicles 20. I want us to take the time and I want us to meditate these things. Remember, Bill Winston made this statement. We're in a time where the supernatural is no longer an option, but a requirement. Yes. And the vehicle, like I said before, through which the Holy Spirit dispenses or disperses the supernatural is prayer. Through this corporate anointing more than anything. Okay. All right. I'll start at verse 1. After this, the Moabites, the Ammonites, with them, the Meunites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. It was told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude has come against you from beyond the Dead Sea, from Edom, and behold, they were in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. Then Jehoshaphat feared and set himself determinedly as his vital need to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast in all of Judah. Okay, so that tells me if he proclaimed a fast in all Judah, not only he seeking the Lord, he called for that corporate fast. He called for a corporate supply here. And Judah gathered, that's the corporate, together to ask help from the Lord. So there's your picture right there. That's corporate prayer. If you want to see what corporate prayer does, pay attention here. From people that don't have the spirit of the testimony of Jesus in them yet. And Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord, yearning for him with all their desire. And it wasn't just any haphazard thing. That entire nation came. They were yearning, seeking the Lord. Because they were refusing to let the enemy destroy their nation. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did not you, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people, Israel? Now he just reminded you just and give it forever the descendants of Abraham, your friend. They dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if evil come upon us, the sword of judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you for your name and of the symbol of your presence in this house and cry to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save us. And now behold, the men of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they turned from and did not destroy. Behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not exercise judgment upon them? For we have no might to stand against this great company that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. So now he was leading this prayer, right? And all Judah stood before the Lord with their children and their wives. Then the spirit of the Lord. Okay, here, now watch it. Now, you remember when Jehoshaphat is speaking this, all right? All these people, this is like I would be up here praying. And you are praying with me. And you are praying with me. And he is reminding the Lord of what he did when the enemy came up against them before. And he's praying and he's talking. And they all, this corporate supply now, it's happening. You got the spirit of prayer to hit them now. And they're over in a place, if you will, in 21st century vernacular. They're over in a place in the spirit now. And the spirit of prayer has grabbed them. And watch now, the spirit of prayer began to move out in the midst of the congregation, and watch what the spirit of prophecy fall on, not just the pastor, not just the minister, but the spirit of prayer of prophecy falls on now somebody in the congregation. He says, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their children and their wife. Then the spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. There's the spirit of the Lord. Or you could say the spirit of prophecy now, because there was a spirit of prayer activated by all of the people that were praying there in that nation. He said, hearken, all Judah. Now he's prophesying. He's given the word of the Lord. And wait a minute. Here's another thing that comes with the spirit of prophecy. And I looked it up over in when I abrasakara makika. I went to 1 Timothy, where it says to Timothy, you wage your warfare. You know that word war comes from the word strategy. Stratos. Stratagem. Where there are strategies now. There are strategies. That's why Paul said, look, get that prophetic word. Wage your war with it. It'll aid you and it'll assist you now, because in the spirit, it's a strategy. So watch this. He gives this word of the Lord with every detail of what they should do. The spirit of prophecy, divine revelation, giving the secrets and revealing the mysteries. He says, hearken, all Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat. The Lord say this to you, be not afraid or dismayed at this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. Hey, if I got that much sometimes, I would be happy. I would be happy if I just got that much. But let me tell you, that we are selling for just that much, too much. God said if you'll yield on over to the Holy Ghost and yield yourself in this way to prayer and travail, then he'll give you line by line, precept by precept, what to do. Strategy. I mean, that's good. Thank God the battle is not mine. Thank God. I know that would encourage me. I could stand on that till I got the victory. But oh no, God goes further. Why? Because the spirit of prayer is working. And now there's this supernatural knowledge that has opened up. And the spirit of God moved on this guy. And now he's giving these details. Tomorrow. Go down to them. Behold, they will come up by Asen of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the ravine before the wilderness of Jeriel. Look at that detail. Look at that strategy. Now, see, you can operate and you can be this accurate, but it's going to say, you know, you got to yield yourself over and you got to pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, they didn't have the Holy Ghost back then, so God compensated other ways. I will say they didn't have them in him, but they had him because he came up on the guy, right?
Right. Yeah.
With these details, he stand up and said, you know, I believe the enemy going to come after us, start running. You know, I mean, that would have been good. I would start running probably, you know, but he didn't say, I believe the enemy going to come against us sometime today. No, tomorrow. Exactly. Tomorrow. Go down to them. Behold, they will come up, by, I told you, and you will find them at the end of the ravine before the wilderness of Jericho. You should not need to fight in this battle. Take your position. Now, you underline that. Take your position. In other words, you over here in the spirit, this is the position now of the victorious church. Take this position and hold it. Take your positions. Stand still and see the deliverance of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord. And they begin now, see you, oh, they're way over there. Ask a friend of mine and say they're way over now because they got the word of the Lord. All is left to do is just worship him because they got exactly what to do. There is no doubt about it because the spirit of prayer and the spirit of prophecy is working together. Supernatural revelation have been dispersed. Supernatural knowledge, strategies. And some Levites of the Kohathites and Korahites stood up to praise the Lord. Watch this now. The God of Israel with a very loud voice. Now, because I used to just skip to this verse, you know. I used to read all that until the Lord began to show me years ago about this spirit of prayer and the spirit of prophecy. You know, in fact, I preached this back in up in D.C., Woodbridge, Virginia, right where Brother Copeland does the victory campaign where he was yesterday. And the Lord, that was a prophetic worship conference. And so God showed me this up there in D.C. Mm-hmm. And he said, and they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe you the Lord, your God, and you shall be established, and believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper. So now he said, all right, The spirit of prayer and prophecy is working together. What Jehaziel prophesied now has given me further inspiration. See how you help the prophet or you help the king? When you do what God say, when you yield over and you get over in this place called in the spirit.
Yes.
He said, because what he's about to say is crazy. What he's about to say will make your flesh run in stark terror. What he's about to say, he said, oh, you just believe your prophet. He said, you know, believe your prophets, you'll prosper. Oh, if you believe, because he know he's about to tell them to do something that don't make any sense. He's about to tell them to do something that we all fall back running if we ain't over in the spirit. And you know, he don't have time for somebody asking him. I mean, but why we got to go out with a drum, you know? I mean, you mean I'm supposed to take my guitar out there before those people with all those bows and arrows? You know, you know the people, because you know. But see, but when you're over in this place, and so just to make sure, he tell them, now believe the prophet, because you're going to prosper if you believe me, okay? Because he's about to say something insane. And when he had consulted with them, see, he had to consult with them. Say, I know this is so insane, you think it's profane, but I'm telling you, this is of the Lord. If you'll just believe me, remember back when this happened, you know? And so he appointed singers to sing to the Lord and praise him in their holy garments as they went out before the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord. Wait, what? Just think about it. If, you know, something, maybe a war broke out or something, and they came to the church for help, and they said, well, we're going to send all the musicians, you know, to Iraq or to wherever, to Russia, to wherever, to Iran. And, you know, and they'll be like, well, I believe the Lord is, you know, changing, you know, I have transition happening. The Lord is moving me, you know, to Creflo Church. You know, I probably go with them if they come after the prayers. I said, no, the Lord just calling me to go back to teaching school and be an intercessor at home. You know, unless you're in the spirit, right? You know, people, you know, when it don't make sense, and when, you know, your life is at stake, you know. When your life, but see, if you will give up your life, lay down your life for somebody else, when time comes when your life is at stake, God will have somebody do something crazy for you. He says, give thanks to the Lord for his good and loving kindness and do it forever. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushment against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were self-slaughtered. Wait a minute, it drove them crazy. And they began to self-slaughter themselves. For suspecting betrayal, the men of Ammon and Moab rose against those of Mount Seir, utterly destroying them. And when they, my Jesus, I hear you. And when they had made an end of the men of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. Now watch this. Now God just, when he does something, he just goes all the way, number one. Yes. Number two, I mean, he always does exceeding abundantly above all we dare ask or think. He says, when Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked at the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies falling to the earth, and none had escaped, baby. When God sent it, when you got this operation, when you got the spirit of prayer and the spirit of prophecy operating on this level, the devil is not going to escape. Not one big devil and not one tall, or, you know, not so clearly to the mind devil.
That's right.
Nobody's going to escape.
That's right. Yeah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take the spoil, they didn't just go and leave. They saw them dead bodies. Now, you know, I be hakorobo shake ha. They over in the spirit still.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, you have to get, you know, this kind of stuff, this being over in the spirit like this brings boldness.
That's right.
Because, you know, when I see a dead body, you know, it's not like I want to go in that direction. You know. And, you know, and I'm, you know, even the dead bodies that they're all pretty, you know, they fixed them, you know, they're dead. But these are not like that. They're bloody. Heads probably are missing. Limbs are missing, you know. And it's kind of bad. And but wait, look what they did. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take the spoil, they found among them much cattle, goods. Just think about the mess, the stench, the stink. Garments. Garments? You're kidding me. And precious things, which they took for themselves, more than they could carry away. I mean, wait a minute, God. Is this a fairy tale? No, we know this is real.
It's real.
Because it's the Bible.
It's real.
You think that's possible for us today?
Yes.
But do you think it's possible for a pitakiyat in about the howl, praise the Lord, it's done? No. You know, so many people tell me, not so many, there are people who come to me, you know, you mean, because I'm intense, I get it. It's done. And so I'm like, well, God, why you have me praying? He said, because they pray 15 minutes. You're over in the spirit, and you're seeing out ahead. You have, this spirit of prophecy, and you have this scene anointing, and you know it has to be prayed out. And you have precedence for the word. He said, don't worry about them. They're not a prayer. See, but I know what it takes. Because it was that easy, we all have it, right?
Right.
I wouldn't be sitting here trying to point this out to you this morning. More than they could carry away, so much they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. Mm. Oh my gosh. So you see here, the spirit of prayer and the spirit of prophecy was in operation till it opened up the supernatural. There was supernatural deliverance from the enemy. There was supernatural revelation, and there was supernatural wealth. It was a wealth transfer. Right there. Because a man named King Jehoshaphat decided to get the whole nation praying. Want it. I would say a praying church. Want it. A supernatural church. Now, the spirit of prophecy and the spirit of prayer, as I said, the spirit of prophecy piggybacks it. The spirit of prayer every time. So let's go to the New Testament. So I hopefully we'll get a chance to pray, but if y'all don't mind, let me finish this. Because then next week, it'll be even higher. You know, but I hopefully we'll get to pray at least 5 minutes today. But I was getting ready. I really was going to come back. I kind of had a sense in my spirit what the Lord wanted, and he downloaded. And so I went, grabbed my stuff, and I began to write. Just prophecies from 2020. Did I say where I was going to turn to?
No.
Oops. Oh, Acts. So here, you know, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, you know what happened? You know, they were praying in Acts chapter 1:14. Spirit of prayer broke out, and they received what Jesus said they would receive. And now the spirit of prophecy is happening, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they were drunk and praying, and on and on and on. And this is happening out of a spirit of prayer again, because over in Acts 1:14, it says they were praying and waiting. They were waiting. Everybody, Mary, the mother, all the women and children, everybody was praying. So, you know, now let's go here, you see. And then all these people here, you know, this supernatural occurrence of the being filled with the Holy Ghost and people hearing their own other dialects and And then verse 12, and all were beside themselves, Acts chapter 2, and with amazement and were puzzled and bewildered, saying one to another, what can this mean? Or as the King James said, what meaneth this? But others made a joke of it and diversely said, and I don't know, derisively said, they are simply drunk and full of sweet intoxicating wine. But Peter, yeah, I need all of it. Get them out of my thing here. Mine marked up what I want to read from. Thank you. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. You Jews and all you residents of Jerusalem. Okay, wait a minute. Stop. Out of this, here it was, this phenomena happened. The spirit of prophecy was in operation. It came off the heels of the spirit of prayer in Acts 1:14. And now Peter stands up and he's speaking by divine inspiration. Yeah. Right here. He stood up. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed him. You Jews, but this is by divine inspiration or prophecy or the spirit of prophecy. Then he say, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then he said, but instead, this is the beginning of what was spoken through the prophet Joel. Joel prophesied about this. Now Peter is prophesying it again. He said, and this shall come to pass in the last days, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. The spirit of prophecy was released then. Yeah. The spirit of prophecy now. We qualify because this is that we are in that. This day is that day. And now the spirit of prophecy, Joel said, would come at the end time to the end time church. And this spirit of prophecy now, but it comes on the hill of the spirit of prayer. It doesn't have to, but the biggest and the most I would say the maximum a manifestation of it comes on the hill of prayer. What folder? Give me this one. I'm looking for the 2020 ones now. Because now y'all know they're in here. Now y'all going to have to pray for anointing to find my prophecies. Because it's just that simple. It ain't that hard. I'm gonna get them in trouble for not being able to get the anointing to find my stuff. Because that's all it takes. It don't take nothing but the spirit of God. Give me my folders. I don't have time for this. I don't want nobody else but mine today. Because I'm trying to teach them how to be ready. They should already have these folders out looking, just in case I needed it. Especially Crystal sitting over there. So good. Oh, yeah, okay. No, it's not in that one. Did you take them out of here? Did I borrow them or something? Oh, you did? Mm-hmm. But I didn't take it out of the house. But anyway, don't worry about it. So let's get back on the spirit of prophecy. So here, then verse 18. Yes, and on your men servants, also on your maid servants in those days, I will pour out of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Spirit of prophecy again. He's gonna pour out his spirit on us in this corporate prayer. Yes. Yes, and then the single one, like what Soon gave. See? Is that it? See, I know they were in there, but I have one that's marked up, but don't worry. So, but Zuri is trying to help me. Now, but Crystal, I don't know what Crystal's doing over there. But Zuri tried to put them all in one folder for me. And I worked she and Jacob so hard, they were tired when we left the other night, so it probably on that table at my office. Because I have them dragging out of there at night with me. No, just kidding. Well, really not. But okay. So, but you see the spirit of prophecy. You see it here. So you have the spirit of prophecy. Amen. And thus you can pray prophetically, which means that you can declare. You can pray out secrets and mysteries, revelation, which means you can declare the will and purpose of God in the earth, just like Jehaziel did over there in Chronicles, with accuracy, with pinpoint accuracy. Kebrapata. Kibre Jogoba. Jigabapa. I'm so glad you're here. Hai Arasakataya. Okay, so now let's go over to Acts 19. But Crystal takes good care of me too. But see, I can be hard on her because she's older. She used to me. One time I said, Crystal, I'm sorry, you know, that I did whatever. She said, well, I just figured that's the way you are. I said, well, pray for me to change. I won't do that. She's good to me. Okay, so Acts 19. Y'all remember Acts 19, right? Yes. Now, remember, in the book of Acts, if you study it, there's constant prayer happening. People are meeting all over the place. I could go show it to you. You know, when I teach the prayer leaders, next time I teach you guys prayer group dynamics, I'm going to prove to you from the book of Acts that there were people praying all over. Just remember when they said Peter went to Mary's house and Rhoda came to the door? I was studying this. I taught this in the Bible school several weeks ago, and I was preparing for it. There, I found out from some commentators that this wasn't the only house of people praying for Peter to come out of prison. There were other people praying. There were other people meeting at other locations praying. So now, think about that in the context of what I'm about to read. Because people are praying all over.
Yes, they are.
And now Paul is now walking in the utterance that he got the revelation when he was down there with Lydia at that river in Acts 16. And so now he's operating in it. He's going from place to place. But here in Acts chapter 19, it says, while Apollo was in Corinth and Paul went through the upper islands district and came down to Ephesus, there he found some disciples. And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe on Jesus as the Christ? They said, no, we have not even heard that there was such a Holy Spirit. He asked, into what baptism then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. When Paul said, John baptized you, I got to pray for GE, and I'm going to get on. Verse 6, and as Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit, the spirit of prophecy, came upon them, and they spoke in tongues, and they prophesied. Because the atmosphere, the spirit of prayer was at work, so it's conducive for the spirit of prophecy. So Paul just came. He was wanting to get them filled with the Holy Ghost, but they began to prophesy because it was right there. That spirit of prayer had the atmosphere. It was just like an incubator. It was ready to grow it. It was ready to activate it. And when he came up, he laid his hands on them, they began to not only speak with other tongues, they prophesied because the atmosphere, the environment, if you will, were conducive for it. Because they were so operating so strategically in this corporate prayer with the spirit of prayer. And I could go on and on and on. About this. And Paul, look, he went into the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly. Wait a minute. Persuading and arguing, pleading about the kingdom of God. So I'll stop here, but you get the picture. This is open and available to everyone in this room. And God's best plan is for us to move in it corporately as one man. We're going to do it. We're going to get there. We are going to get there. And this prophecy by Brother Copeland about 2020, it said it'll be a year about vision because, you know, of the 2020, you know. But remember, prophecy includes revelation and vision. And we know that if we think about scripture. But I won't read it. Thank you, ladies, for being patient with me and giving me this prophecy. So I'm going to give these back to Zuri, but I won't read it. But we're going to pray in tongues for a few minutes. I'm going to pray for a person named GE, okay? Well, they're not, yeah, their initials are GE. So it's not General Edison. Don't be trying to guess who it is. I need your prayers. Mind people like, who's GE? Can't wait to text Ivy after church and say, who's GE? Don't text me. I'm not going to tell you. The GE is just a code. No. Miss Nella just went, oh man, I can't text her. Nah, just So Father, we thank you, Lord, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The eyes of our heart being flooded with light that we may know. The next part of this that I'm going to teach on, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, you know, it's not just for us to study the word and get revelation, but it's talking about our seeing and our knowing. Yes. Being able to see, being able to know, being able to hear. Yes. So, Father, I thank you over in this anointing, over in this place that you opened up this morning. We put GE in it. We thank you in the name of Jesus that, Father God, supernatural light is flowing in his body. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that it'll be like quick and like a laser now. Let your word go to him. Let it be a scalpel in him. Let the word work in him as a scalpel. Let it be like a laser light. Let it be like a heat-seeking missile. Goes right to that place in the name of Jesus. We send the word to him. And Father, we thank you that the word heal him and deliver him from destruction and take sickness from the midst of him. Father, we send the quick and powerful word to him that it will operate in him with divine revelation, that the very voice of the revelation will declare what Jesus has done already in his body, and that the testimony of Jesus of the healing power of him in his body will rise up. And it will eradicate anything that's not of the law of life in Christ Jesus, the law of the spirit life in Christ Jesus. Oh God, the voice of revelation and the voice of spirit of prophecy and the testimony of Jesus as the healer is alive in him and it speaks on his behalf. And I thank you, Father God. It speaks life and life more abundantly. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Well, I'll stop here. We'll pick up next week. Thank you.